A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Be high and lifted up, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. Norwich was superb. Tammy Abraham bagged a hat-trick and Arsenal capitulated. Hi, everybody. It's a new week. It's a new ramble, but it's the same faces.
Capitulated.
Yeah, there was a lot of appropriate disdain in it.
They still got a point, though.
Well,
it's been a vintage weekend for defenders keeping it tight.
There were an incredible amount of goals across football in general this weekend. I was listening to the radio on the way back from somewhere and I could hear the classified results coming in. It's five this and six that, all sorts going on.
It's the playing it out from the back changing rules. Everyone's having a go.
And if it goes wrong, they're going to have another go until they get it right.
Manchester City buggered it all up as well, didn't they?
I was proven right.
You were indeed,
Predictions
Jim.
Predictions are a mug's game.
Jim, what did you say?
6-0 Man City.
6-0 to City.
Yeah. I agreed with it, so I'm sort of to blame.
I think Charlie Nicholas predicted a 6-2 on Soccer Saturday. So you're in good company.
We're in poor company because we're with the people who got it wrong.
And one of them, Charlie Nicholas.
He's all right, Charlie Nicholas.
Champagne Charlie.
He's all Cannonball right.
Cannonball
kid.
Well, exactly. What about you, Jeff? You don't want to wear your specs on the screen because the...
Champagne Charlie was Graeme Souness.
No, was it?
Yep.
Why was he Champagne Charlie?
When he played for Middlesbrough. He took his foot off the gas a little bit.
Pretty, not fussy about the details up there,
right? I was pretty sure that's what Graeme Souness was called.
I don't like to see a young manager, you know, just kind of like enjoying life and, you know, enjoying the finer things in life. I just think it's distracted from what's going on the pitch. I think it's disgusting.
It is disgusting.
Yeah. I mean, Charlie Nicholas was called Champagne Charlie in the tabloids as well, so let's make that clear.
What would Gin Graham? It's got to be alliterative.
Champagne Souness works better.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, Maradona was Champagne and Charlie.
Was?
The biggest shock of the season so far happened at Norwich, where they beat Manchester City. And the only other people, of course, who were surprised by that were the people who heard Jim's prediction.
Like I said, I predicted that predictions are a mug's game, so I don't know what you're talking about. I've been vindicated.
You have indeed, Jim. So's Daniel Fark.
Marcus, talk to us about the topics.
I think the Daniel Fark's boys were very good on many topics. He said he will celebrate with coffee and cake on the sofa. Presumably coffee and cake are that to be taken literally.
They're his Labradors.
It could be.
Coffee and cake. 11 absences for, what was that? Was that some kind of...
Like a quack.
Is that an inner brain Siri going off in
Might
my head?
Been. Yeah. Might have been.
11 absences for Norwich.
Quack.
I think
11.
I think that's if you're generous.
He's got a hell of an injury list, and he's and they still somehow defeated Manchester City.
They went up and at them. I mean, do you know what it reminded me of? If you guys remember, there was a game this season that Leicester won the title and they beat Man City 3-1. I think it was at the Etihad.
Yes.
They're pretty sure it was away from home and City got like a late consolation.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
And Leicester sort of imposed themselves upon Man City that night in a way that caused Man City. Now, I think, was it Di Michaelis who was still playing for them then?
Yeah, wasn't it night? It was during the day.
Okay, well, fine. Where he kept being pressured into making mistakes and all the rest of it. And Norwich did that to Man City at the weekend. They showed that Man City can be thrown at the back, particularly with this centre-back pairing. It can't be long now until we see Fernandinho playing centre-back.
Yeah. I mean, the Otamendi thing was it was absurd. You don't expect it from a player of that calibre. But is that the nature of playing out from the back? Like, I don't want to sound like Jason Cundy trying to understand trans issues here, like in sort of like, like old mannish. But
don't blame mannish, he's all right.
a style like that, it is so dependent on individuals being switched on and taking a huge amount of responsibility in the area like that. So I think we're going to see a lot more of this as the season goes on. Mm. It is an imperfect way of playing, surely.
But I don't even think it was that. I mean, look at the way that Pukki delivered the ball for their second. Like, yeah. I was looking around going, oh, they must have been outnumbered. They weren't. Yeah. It was 2-on-3.
Yeah.
And the communication between Stones, Otamendi, and also Walker as well. Like, you can't use such a high line when you have less than no communication. Walker was playing everyone on side.
And then complaining about it.
And then complaining about it.
An amazing,
like, what are you doing?
An amazing show of kind of deflection. See, if I complain about this long enough with the referee, even though I fully well know that VAR's there for offsides anyway, I'm going to get away with this. But the commentator didn't let him.
No. Man City is just a bit light at centre-half, are they not?
Laporte is a huge loss, isn't he?
He is. Obviously, companies not there as well. They tried to get Maguire. They didn't really get a centre-half in that they...
Did they really try and get Maguire, or was that just kind of like some really
driving up the price of Man United?
We said at the start of the season, it's being overlooked. They're going into the season with just three centre-halves, three recognised centre-halves. One of them's Otamendi, who isn't that great. Yeah. I'm not just saying that because...
Well, what are you basing that on, Luke?
Yeah, well, but it's not just based on that. That's the thing. That's given me further assurances. But the other thing is Gundogan was pretty anonymous as well in the middle.
These matches can happen, though.
Of course.
Yeah, but, Man City do have that in them. I would argue that Man City have got this in them more than probably Liverpool have. Liverpool conceded a bit, but I would say that Man City have got a season-changing loss in them.
Definitely.
More than Liverpool do.
When last season, do you remember John Stones had made a mistake? Pep Guardiola, after the game, said, I love John Stones, I love this player, I love what he does, and I love his mistakes. So it's not like they don't
know that about Otamendi?
And they sort of accept it.
Probably not, though.
No. I don't remember hearing him saying that after the game.
Yeah, Guardiola, it seemed a little bit prickly, but you understand why. But he said, congratulations, Liverpool, you are champions. We're in September. We'll recover, train, and come back.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
Well, he said it was actually quite magnanimous about Norwich, though, wasn't he? He said that in both boxes they were better. I think that is absolutely right.
And I think they were. And I think, you know, a lot of attention is taken by Pukki, as we expect. He gets a lot of the focus. But they've got other good players as well. Buendia is good and tricky in the middle.
Great.
Tenacious. Yeah. Todd Cantwell's full of run-ins. A good player as well.
I loved Todd Cantwell taking the ball into the corner late on.
That was
player
good.
That young.
That was
like, just knowing to do that. That was brilliant.
Yeah. I enjoyed it immensely. But, I understand Manchester City are 5 points behind Liverpool and going on last season. That, you know, that is a little bit of a way to come back from. Mm. But as Guardiola, I think, himself said, you know, Man City drawing at home to Spurs, I mean, they were just very unlucky. I think you just sort of hold your hands up there. And Spurs are obviously a good side. But the odd result like this, we've seen it before with teams who are the champions or going for the title, and the odd result. And in a weird way, I think it's almost sort of better that it was individual errors, really, that cost them. Because those are the kind of errors you think are a bit sloppy or whether you can stamp them out. Whereas I think if Norwich had have played them off the park totally, I know Norwich were the better team and all that sort of stuff, but I these results can happen. I don't think that...
They hit the post, Man City, and...
Aguero had a couple of chances.
Yeah,
exactly.
Aguero's scored in every game so far this season.
I do think Norwich were well worth it, though.
No, I'm not saying that, but what I mean is that it wasn't like Norwich beat them 4-1 and it was kind of carved Man City open all the time and blah, blah, blah. I mean, that Pukki goal was just ridiculous. ridiculous.
Well, I don't know. He still had a little bit to do, didn't he? And the other two were just very well.
No, I think it was an error.
I think poking it past the keeper was like he had very little time to do that. But it was himself in that situation.
But it was an absolutely egregious error that no amount of planning through the whole week could plan for.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're both kind of right. Yeah. I just don't want to take anything away from Norwich. That's all because they were well worth the win. They looked very threatening, kind of over and over again. If you look at the spread of their goals, it was only really the last 20 or so minutes they started to drop too deep.
They had the lead, didn't they? They're 3-1 up, so there's no point in going gung-ho. I don't think many teams would, although Rodri got
there,
one.
There was a guy who called into, I forget which radio station, it might have been Five Live, that night I was making dinner, and he was legitimately saying that he thought Pep should be fired.
Yeah, it was funny.
Let's discuss that for a bit.
what were his reasons? Or was he just sort of speaking?
Because they lost him!
He's lost the dressing room.
He was saying they were stagnating under it. Yeah, which is an incredible thing.
It's hard to win the league
but
in
but
September.
It wasn't that long ago, because this guy was also, I mean, this guy was obviously crazy, but he was also saying that he'd like Jurgen Klopp, he'd prefer Jurgen Klopp, which is a bit of a weird thing to say, but... Yeah.
Chances of getting him?
Very, very slim, I would say. But it wasn't... could he get Daniel Farker on his topics, though?
Well,
maybe he could.
But I was just going to say, it wasn't that long ago, a couple of seasons maybe, where Liverpool were losing games like this against teams you wanted them, they should be beating.
Yeah.
They struggled against... looked at the profile of teams they struggled against a couple of years ago. Teams like Palace, I think maybe Bournemouth, perhaps even the West Brom in there. So that can happen to teams. Liverpool just... seem to be a relentless machine at the moment,
which is funny because it's
only September,
around,
isn't it?
Again, ebbs and flows.
Yeah, absolutely. I honestly think Daniel Farker's voice might be my favourite thing about the season.
Yep,
it is preposterous.
It is wonderful. it's like a girl guide has swapped bodies with a bouncer and he's just trying to like make do without anyone noticing.
I think he sounds a bit like
Freaky Friday.
I think
he's very much so.
Yeah, he's Freaky Friday.
Freaky
Farker. Yeah,
Farky Friday.
I think we covered them all. I think
just next stage of what you guys said.
Write it down short.
I don't think I should get the credit.
Farky
for that.
Friday.
He sounds like what I imagine. What I imagine a particularly camp man working in the foyer of a German brothel would sound like. Pete, would you like to come in on that?
That is niche.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
You've got the shirt for it today.
Yeah. And the internet history.
But let's just take a moment. It was a great win for Norwich, but let's, as Marcus has alluded to there, let's take a moment to enjoy Daniel Farker's voice. Let's hope we hear more of it.
It's up there with Claude Puel for me.
It's better than Puel.
It's better than Puel.
Puel's is smooth. It's not.
Puel's is what you expect, I suppose.
Yeah. Farker's is. We've never heard anything like this.
Yeah. No. Especially when he's dressed all in black.
I can't wait till they play Burnley. The post-match is going to be better than the game, even if the game's like 5-5.
You know when you meet someone, say a friend of a friend, or someone comes up to you in a pub and starts talking to you, and they're really, really nice, but they're so nice you think they're probably...
Murderer.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're probably going to... So there's going to be a sting in the tail here.
Right. He's a bit like that.
Yes. I think when he goes, get out of the area.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I do agree with you.
Because people said the same thing about Klopp as well.
Slightly menacing.
Oh, very menacing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the hair...
No,
and the
Klopp's not... Klopp's jovial, but his voice is not a surprise when you hear him
talk. No, it's not. But I mean, in terms of his manner, someone said to me that, I forget who it was now, but said, when you see Klopp talking to players on the side of the pitch when they're about to come on for Liverpool, people assume that he's giving them a ruffle and talking out greatly. Apparently, he's absolutely hammering them, telling them, this is what I need from you, you better do it kind of thing. But people expect him to be a lot more avuncular than apparently he is in behind closed doors.
Oh, so he's got his arm running again. I got your kids.
Yeah, exactly. And who knows what Daniel Farker does behind closed doors. Who the hell knows?
Don't forget to get the topics. Do the topics correctly.
Congratulations,
Jim.
To them. Congratulations.
Very much so. Very much so. Well, Liverpool beat Newcastle United, of course. No surprise there. But what a goal.
What a goal.
What a goal.
Oh, what a hit.
From Williams.
It was amazing, wasn't it?
Although it was an absolute peach.
It was. It was brilliant. That. I mean, that's surely going to be up there for goals of the season for that little flick inside alone.
Goals of the season? Goal of the month.
The goalkeeper. It was very straight in the goalkeeper. It was not in the corner. And the
it
goalkeeper
moved in that brilliant way.
I don't think it moved that far.
Oh, come on. It moved very quickly.
So are you hating a Newcastle goal here?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, throw it in there. No, I'm not. I'm not insane. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, well, they were quickly pegged in true Geordie fashion, weren't they? So,
Pete, did the whole of the Geordie nation at 7 minutes in all collectively at the same time go, too early?
Yeah.
too early.
Yeah.
Jethro Williams has got a beautiful neck to head ratio that I cannot get enough of.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Is it very thick neck?
Thick neck.
Yeah.
Enjoyable.
The brass neck on him to score that.
The ultimate example. The ultimate example of... too early was Shearer. You were a 96 semi?
Yes. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. How many was that? Three
Michael
minutes?
Owen against three, Portugal as well. Another was one. It 2004, 2006?
They're all England ones.
Whenever England have Trippier against
yeah,
Croatia.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I mean, they, but they are. Yeah. Damn going ahead. Well, one thing that I think we've cleared up is that Sadio Mane and Mo Salah don't hate each other after all.
No.
Mm. I enjoyed the gif.
The beef has moved on to nice, Shearer yeah, and Owen, isn't it?
The beef is...
The little kids having a hug.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Nice. Cute.
Salah tweeted that, I think, didn't he?
Very adorable.
Yeah. Mane's opener was a nice one as well. Mm. It was Willems-esque, you could say.
And Firmino was delicious when he came off.
Oh, God, he was just great.
Just bring him on.
He was a Robert Dazzler. He's brilliant.
Go on, Zoom.
Mane's second goal is really confusing to me because... the ball bounces backwards over Dubravka's knee from him hitting it on his knee.
Yeah, everyone's given Dubravka penalty for that, but not penalty. I thought it was all right. I mean, you know,
you thought it was all right.
He piled in on. Well, no.
I looked at that and I thought I'm perfectly happy with that situation. Thank you very much.
He piled in. It ricocheted off the player who was trying to get the goal.
Marcus, it's fine.
I'm not saying it's like...
It only went in.
I'm not saying it was a terrible
error necessarily.
But people were saying that, so I don't
better.
Understand.
But the thing that just confuses me the most about it is how that's even physically possible.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah,
to knee a ball over the your back.
It's FIFA 19, clip through him. Scripting. Yeah.
I'm not ascribing any kind of meaning to this, but just to give you a bit of extra window dressing to the conversation, yeah. Opta officially listed it as an error.
Right. Oh.
What do they know about errors?
Don't know.
They've never played the game. No. They've never watched thousands of games.
Tell me last time an algorithm played the game.
Exactly.
Tell them to invert that algorithm.
Well, anyway, never seen a zone score a goal.
Yeah, exactly. But Dubravka did have a good game apart from that glaring error.
He needed to, Marcus.
He needed to. Yeah, otherwise it'd have been 4 or 5. But he did have a good game, Peter.
Could it have been 2-2? Was a chance.
There was a chance.
A couple of chances, yeah.
Newcastle bear in mind it's at Anfield and the way Liverpool start the season.
Does Jamal Lascelles count for penalties? Like, because he seems to get away with a lot of stuff.
He does. It's a handy weapon Newcastle have got this season.
Having a complete pass when it comes to not getting a penalty.
Was it Bruce's idea, or is it just sort of that's the way the chips have fallen?
What do you mean? As in, like,
Bruce was like, just do whatever you want.
Just do whatever you want because you will never get a red card against you.
I apply for impunity for you. Or immunity, whatever the word
Maybe he's one of those people that's so confident they can just do things. You go, did they just do...
Yeah,
they've just done it and it seems to be all right.
No, I don't think we will check VAR.
No.
Yeah.
Let's not worry about it. No.
Although, I mean, we're talking about the Joel Matip one, obviously, right? Do you think because Matip got his header back across, the referee just deemed that he'd...
It sometimes goes like that, doesn't it? Yeah. It sometimes, because they don't, their first, in that case, their initial reaction, I think, is to play the advantage.
Yeah.
And so they don't, and then maybe they just get taken away to somewhere else kind of thing. That's what they always talk about. Commentators and pundits always talk about players having to go down.
Yeah,
it's exactly that kind of reason.
Absolutely.
But in that situation, he even threw himself on the floor. It looked ridiculous.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what can you do?
But can't win, comes across
apart from that they did.
Yeah. He comes across as a good, honest lad. Maybe referees just it's that reputation.
He's lucky to still be it. Newcastle fans are lucky to have him still, aren't they?
I'd say so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Arsenal were taking a look for a while, weren't they?
I don't know.
Arsenal don't need him, do they? Yeah. It comes to them in a bit.
Yeah. It wouldn't matter if we had.
Come along, Jim.
After the break.
Chelsea got a good win at Wolves.
Where?
At Wolves. The youngsters.
That
was just me being silly.
Woolen Wolves.
Oh, that wasn't me disrespecting. Okay. Where are Wolves? The Black Country, would they be in?
Yeah. Wolverhampton.
Yeah. Don't, more specifically, yes.
don't disrespect the Wolvesy people.
No.
The Wolvesy nation.
By the order of the Peaky Blinders.
Although, again...
I've never seen the show.
The Peaky Wolvesies.
In this week in football phone-ins, again on Five Live, someone was calling for Nuno to be fired as well.
Yeah, no, that's... Silly thing to say.
They're all at it, mate.
Bit soon.
They're all at it.
Banger out.
Can we get a Liverpool fan on about Klopp?
Yeah, maybe.
They're bound to be, isn't there?
But I'm sorry, but if you've got like a load of lines and you're...
Hang on, where's this going? You can come up with any crazy opinion.
You're a very efficient radio producer. Very on it.
Yeah.
You're picking up all these lines and if somebody goes, I'm a dribbling maniac and I want Pep to go, you're going to go, right on the air. Right, come on.
Yeah.
Shareable, snackable content.
But I think that's
why the world's gone to the fucking dogs.
Easy.
It's not the only reason. There's an element of that, but there's also an element of they do want to control it, don't they? Because I don't want it to go completely off the flywheel.
Yeah.
I've seen phone-in panels at radio stations, and they've got notes on them based on the number, whether it's called before and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them will say, do not put through.
Yeah, he's a maniac.
Yeah.
So, and it's always a he.
Yeah.
Always a he.
So
We don't have that system with our emailing thing.
No. Well, we've got Pete. Pete is the system.
Someone complained about my radio show this time last year, and I only found out about it last week. It said, Peter said that nuclear bombs are cool.
Yeah.
I was like, what a reputation I have. Yeah.
Did you say that?
I can only presume so.
Do you? But sounds like me. Peter, let's clear this matter up.
He doesn't know, Marcus.
Cool or not?
Nah, they're not cool, are they?
Okay.
No, I've let myself down there.
Okay.
Yeah.
They were, though. They were considered cool when they first came out.
Yeah,
all right. The bikini is based on a place called Bikini Atoll, isn't it? Yeah. Where lots of nuclear testing was done. And the bikini is named after it because it was nuclear testing was considered that cool. Is mental.
I thought it was protective clothing for the nipples and the winky.
Were nuclear weapons ever sort of a bit hipster?
Yeah,
Artisanal nuclear weaponry.
Yeah. Maybe that's what we need in the future. Yeah.
It's nothing but the 50s Google Glass.
We should say, ladies and gentlemen, at the time of recording, no one has fired a nuclear missile.
Yeah.
If they had, it would not be cool.
I think people listening need to hear this story from Pete around the phone in and people texting in around the context of what Pete's normal radio phone-ins are, the last two of which we've been reliably informed by Peter himself were phone in and tell me what's that smell and do you like me? They are the two radio phone-ins Pete did more recently.
Both crackers?
Yeah.
And it's a very, very big radio station, Pete's on.
National? Oh, it's national?
Yeah.
Do people phone in for that?
No, I don't think we need any callers in. At my time of night, it's people just basically complaining about they've got the all clear in some kind of operation or something.
Right, okay.
So complaining about that?
Yeah. Well, not complaining, letting me know that they're all right.
I quite like it.
It makes it life affirming.
You are listening to Up with the Partridge. But anyway,
Chelsea got a good win.
I was about to say, Wolves. Marcus, in the dim, distant past, at some point, there was a game at Wolves.
Tammy Abraham in a rich vein of form.
He's even scoring own goals.
Yes. He's scoring at all ends.
He's taking the piss.
But on a mildly serious note, without Lampard in charge and the transfer ban, we probably wouldn't have seen this.
No, absolutely not.
And this is why I think that sometimes pundits or fans or whoever watches the Premier League get a bit frustrated, because this whole idea of, the English talent, is it that quite clearly is there. I remember years ago, I think it was somebody was going around one of the French academies, or it might have been, Clairefontaine,
yeah.
It might have been Clairefontaine with Gerard Houllier, who was quite a big player in that, or certainly has done a lot of
work. He had a special medal made up for him, didn't he, in World Cup 98?
He did, you're absolutely right. And
I mean, someone else did it, he didn't do it himself.
No, that'd be a bit needy, wouldn't
it? Yeah,
yeah. All right, guys.
I've got one as well.
It's got to be in the photo.
Get him anywhere.
Is that a milk bottle top?
Yeah.
He was talking about the talent coming through in France. I mean, they produce talent on an industrial scale in France. It's unbelievable. But he talked about in England how the talent doesn't get a chance. And he said, but would France be worried, or other nations be worried about the talent that could potentially come through with England and see more players and all the rest of it? And he said, yeah, we would be worried. But it was like a little smile and a wink. He went, yeah, but it won't come through, will it? In other words, like the clubs won't give them a chance and whatnot. And we've seen here that with Mason Mount, another one at Chelsea as well, and who was Tomori at the back. This Loftus-Cheek, we were crying out for him to play last season. But I don't know what it is with some players. They don't seem to trust a lot of the homegrown players, and so I'm so glad that it's almost like the parting of the Red Sea's happened. And actually, no, that's a shit analogy.
It could be the way the Red Sea. No, I'm going to go with it.
Okay,
the parting of the Red Sea could be if all the big expensive players were the sea, and the other academy players were on the other side of the sea, and Lampard's parted them, they've come through.
And Sarri and his coaching staff are the Egyptians.
Yeah, but it's a blue sea.
Trying to push them away.
Where's Victor Moses at the moment?
So who stopped Chelsea from signing players? It was UEFA?
God?
Yeah.
And they're like...
They've got a transfer ban,
They're like George Bush.
So they've enslaved them.
George Bush.
It's FIFA normally.
And so FIFA, so the George Bush is the head of FIFA, and the talent ban.
The talent ban.
Taliban.
It's going with a Taliban thing, Marcus.
They've got a talent ban, so they're not allowed to get any players in.
Yes. I apologise,
everybody. Show up footballrealmadaily.com. Do you like Pete?
I apologise, everybody. But I did, and I've just apologised. And I will phone into your radio show and apologise if you'd like me to, if you'll have me. But yes, it's good to see the young players. Someone else talk.
It is, but I think one thing that's missed and should be pointed out as well is it's not just, so what people will do is they'll say, Frank Lampard's playing these young players because of this transfer ban. And that is too simple.
It is.
I'll tell you why, because he could be playing the talent man. Yeah. He could be playing Giroud up front. He's not. He could be playing Barkley. He's not.
Yep.
He could be playing Pedro. Mm-hmm. He could be playing Pulisic. Mm-hmm. He could be playing Batshuayi. He's not playing those players. Yeah, well. He's playing these young players and they're getting wins and they deserve a huge amount of credit for that. And so I think it might have been Daniel Story on Twitter who pointed out that all of the Premier League goals for Chelsea this season so far have come from academy graduates.
There you go.
Yes. Oh. I mean, well, the three of them in the same game, they spoke after the game about how delighted they were about that. And just, I'm really enjoying seeing the joy on Tammy Abraham's face. He's just young enough that this is still really exciting for him. Yeah. And we spoke about sort of comparisons with Harry Kane a couple of weeks ago, but it is really similar, isn't it? Because he went out on loan to sort of find his feet a little bit, get that game time, and he's come back and he looks like it's all just clicked. He looks like such a good player compared to when he had his last spell in the Premier League with Swansea, which obviously was a while ago. Mm-hmm. But he has grown so much, and the range of his finishing looks really, really impressive.
Well, that third goal when he skinned Cody. Mm. I mean,
the defending was obscene. Seven, for most of his goals.
Seven Premier League goals in five games, but four starts.
Yeah, amazing return. What about Tomori's goal? You gotta love
what
that
hit. More wedger than the aforementioned FIFA.
You were talking a bit earlier about a goalkeeper. I wonder if the goalkeeper's got to take the blame for that.
Slightly, but it's a great hit though.
It went a bit closer to the.
He's
top,
whipped it so much that it's confused the keeper.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. I think
it's a bit Seaman versus Ronaldinho, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But the thing is, when I first saw it, I was like, has he meant that? But then you look at it, it's like, well, he can't have meant anything else because it's not really the sort of position where you cross it in because he's banging
trying
the centre.
Trying to score.
It moved so much that it looked almost accidental. It's a great, great shot.
The only thing, potential sort of slight on Chelsea on that game, and our friend, a member of this parish, Jonathan Wilson, wrote this in one of his pieces and said that at 4-0, and then Wolves, of course, got 4-1 and then 4-2, there was still a massive air of optimism in the stadium. And I understand, you know, the Wolves fans probably are back in their team and think, hang on, we can get out of this. But there was just a moment where Chelsea 4-0 up and then pegged back slightly with not that long to go at all. And you think that they weren't perhaps as stable as maybe a more experienced side might be. I appreciate they went on and then got another goal to completely kill it dead. And they did win 5-2.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't want to be too stupid here. But I think the point Jonathan makes is...
I think there's something in it.
Yeah, I do as well.
I think Derby under Lampard conceded a lot of goals as well. Mm. And there's definitely an element of this team that we've said it over and over again. They're not brilliant without the ball. I think Rudiger coming back helps them. I don't imagine he's fully fit yet. I mean, I think he got subbed off.
Yeah, Kante wasn't in the side, obviously.
Yeah, Kante's still to come back. So that will definitely improve them. But there's definitely an element, I agree with Jonathan, there's definitely an element of this side where maybe 4-1 is perhaps a little bit optimistic from Wolves' part. But they still feel like they're in the game and the atmosphere in the stadium speaks for itself, then... Mm. That's something Chelsea need to work on, but ultimately they're relying on their goals at the moment, and that's doing okay.
They feel like, you know, more than a lot of Chelsea sides we've seen, that they can really, really be got at if you just put a little bit of pressure on them.
It's not really Mourinho's 2005.
No,
Chelsea,
but that's
side,
funny,
is it?
Isn't it? Because I feel like Chelsea are defined by that, even this far along, and it's, they probably want to move away from that. We know that Abramovich always wanted to move away from that, so maybe actually this will be short-term pain for long-term game in terms of, you know, getting the best out of that.
Just look at the stats, though. I mean, they've played 5 Premier League games, they've scored 11 and they've conceded 11.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that speaks for itself. Yeah.
It's not boring.
Do you think Wolves might be in a little bit of bother?
The curse of the Europa
League.
They
haven't won, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They play Braga this week at home and they go to Palace.
3 points from 5 games. It is one of those situations where if that continues, you go...
Yeah.
You know, I don't think... Santos,
were you that guy calling in?
I might be in a few weeks.
Do you support Wolves? No, I just want him gone. I just want him fired. It's annoying me.
Chelsea host Liverpool next.
Yeah.
Should be a good one.
Be a cracker.
Should be a good
one.
Let's
do it. Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's have a break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to Football Ramble Daily, everybody. Luke, you look like you've got something exciting to say.
I have got something exciting to say.
Oh. Well, say it, damn you.
Pete's doing another phone-in. No.
I will not be talked down to when it comes to your radio. No, yours as well. Good luck.
How dare you?
I did a phone-in a while back about the weirdest reason you've taken your pet to the vet.
Oh. Oh, it got its nose stuck in the roof of its cage.
Ooh. Okay, we're not... Yeah. We're getting sidetracked.
Sorry, I think I only answer. Because I'm a radio DJ, I have to answer any text question.
You need to listen and then phone in.
People listening will have heard a lot of exciting chat about our live tour around England, and then later in the spring, obviously we're going to Europe as well. Well, there's also been rumours on the mill for our American listeners that we're coming to the US to do some live stuff. I can confirm we are doing that. Tickets go on sale Thursday the 19th. That's this Thursday. Go to ramblelive.com for that same address. We're playing New York City Gramercy on the 5th of November, New York City Murmur on the 6th of November, Toronto Danforth on the 7th.
Our Canadian listeners are involved.
You know about this already, Marcus, but good acting. We're going to Toronto on the 7th, Chicago, Talia Hall on the 8th. Ramblelive.com if you are a stateside listener, whether you live in America or in America's hat, come and see us. By getting your tickets at ramblelive.com, it's going to be lots of fun.
We are a real Americans.
Yeah.
I'm a real American.
Brian Adams to balance it out.
We've got our visas. Everything's go. I'm glad we got the visas before I started talking about the Taliban a lot, but we're fine. But we're fine. We're there. Yeah. Come and see us. Ramblelive.com.
We had to drag you out of the foyer of the embassy, didn't we?
Canadian listeners, everything we do it for you.
There we go.
The ramblelive.com.
I want to flatter you.
4 dates in the US and Canada at the start of November. Ramblelive.com for all the information. Get your tickets. They will go quickly. We have never played in the US before. I don't know if we ever will again. So get your tickets there if you can.
Yeah.
That's the spirit.
But we don't know. We just don't know what's happening. It's a lot. It's hard work to organise.
If you want us to come back, come.
Yeah, exactly.
Create the demand.
I'm going to do an Ozzy Osbourne and we on something important.
Right. Marcus, wrestle this back.
I'm a real American.
Oh, Marcus can't wrestle it back. Because I've also got to do a Betway 4 to score up.
Just quickly, Brian Adams, I think, is a Chelsea fan.
Is he?
Is he?
We won't hold that against him. Betway.com/4 to score every Thursday, of course. Friday, isn't it? Every Friday we do our predictions. Last week didn't go so well. Jim, despite my warnings, refused to back down. I went for the injured Anthony Martial. But it doesn't actually matter because Kevin De Bruyne didn't happen. Gerard Deulofeu certainly didn't happen.
He scored though, didn't he?
He did.
No,
Deulofeu.
No,
he didn't. No,
one of the few that didn't.
Oh God!
We're gonna recap this game later on, Jim. I went for Josh King, who didn't score first either. Doesn't matter.
No,
don't let that stop you.
No.
Betway.com/4 to score. You've got a chance to win. I think £50,000 at the moment. It rolls over, of course, and no one wins it. So go to betway.com/4 to score for your four first goal scorers in the four selected games.
And now it's time for emails with PTD.
Email show. Now Pete is reading it out. Well done.
says, "Hi guys, I have to get up early to watch the games here in Toronto. And sometimes my girlfriend gets up in time to watch with me while she eats her breakfast," which is a lovely way to start your day.
What a lovely scene.
Bit of football and breakfast.
What do you reckon they have for breakfast, please?
Maple syrup, cups of that. Loads of that. Just cups of maple syrup. What are you going to put? Marcus, we've got to go there, mate.
Yeah, I know.
Maple syrup is an adult.
And you'll see when we go there.
Marcus will ride in on a moose.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to dress as Mounties, apparently.
Well, obviously.
Well, you're not allowed to impersonate police officers here, are
you?
Well,
the Mountie, the WWE wrestler, whenever he played in his home country of Canada, had to be known as Jacques Rougeau.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you're not allowed to impersonate
the
Mounties.
I remember having a taser.
You did, yeah.
You're not allowed them either.
No. She always hates how sometimes when footballers score, they swat away their teammates and run away from them because they want to do their own celebration.
I don't like that either.
Yeah, I think we agree as a team.
I really don't like that.
This past weekend in the Premier League was not only exciting, but according to my girlfriend, the most cordial she's seen based on goal celebrations. I decided to not show her the highlight of Billy Sharp surreptitiously punching a guy in the gut as half a tackle. Thank you, Matt, for that one. And hopefully see you in Toronto. Hello to Jamie Scott as well. Hi, Ramble. I was slightly perturbed by the pre-recorded email section on Friday's show. Pikachu was definitely there and it was live, so up yours. The email jingle was played. Pete's pre-recorded segment of Pikachu aired, and then the jingle was played again. So far, so good. But then there was another email read out because of Marcus after the second jingle was played, which for me constituted a second email section. And thus, we should have heard the jingle again at least once, if not twice, to herald the start of this email section and then to play it out.
I agree with him.
Yeah, I agree.
Same. I don't agree with you, Pete, blaming Marcus for wanting an email in the email section.
It was an email. I read out the emails. We had all of the emails were about the Pikachu.
I can't remember what I did wrong.
No, don't worry about
it. You never can. Rob B. Rob B says, did you see Tyrone Mings and John McGinn having a bit of a set to on Twitter?
No,
I haven't seen this.
John McGinn was having trouble with a neighbour with a barking dog. And he said, "I give the dog owner 5 minutes to stop his dog barking or I'm going out to 2-foot it." And Tyrone Mings replied,
"Cruelty to animals, you which I hate."
Tyrone Mings sent him a picture of on Twitter publicly of him and his dog saying, "You won't do a damn thing." And John McKinnon's reply was, "Your dog's got tits." Your dog's got
some tits. Dogs do have tits.
They do. Some elephants do.
Yeah, that's a weird thought. That.
Oh, actually, you've just reminded me. Carry on. I've got a message.
Dog tit update.
No, I had a message from someone talking about, it's a little theory. David Fraser. I thought you guys might particularly like this. David Fraser direct messaged me on Twitter saying, "Scotland were terrible in the international break, but it seems like every Premier League Scottish player this weekend had a great game. McTominay played well. McLean scored for Norwich. Fraser scored for Bournemouth.
Well, Fletcher scored for Sheffield Wednesday. No, it's not in the Premier League.
Yeah, Robertson played well. McBurnley scored, but it was disallowed." Yeah. And his theory is that maybe players just hate playing for Scotland.
Yeah, McBurnley certainly implied that that's the case.
And David Fraser is also from Canada. He's from Whitby in Canada. I don't know where that is. But if he doesn't make the trip to Toronto, however long it is, I will never read a message from him again.
Yeah.
Maybe they just see those matches as training matches and that's why they're really good after the international break.
Could be.
It's a possible theory. Well,
find out.
Or maybe they've loaded up on tablet and they're just high on life and sugar.
Could be. Yeah. Set up a phone and find out.
Yeah. The last email's about Madagascan vanilla. Do you want that?
Yes, I think so.
What a question. Of course we want that.
Henry Hagamaki, who is an Ebola researcher that also has training in political science and international affairs. Greetings, Ramblers. Well, listen to the past episode of the show. I can't mention of Madagascar being a large producer of vanilla in the world. This email is a two-pager. I've cut it down a little bit, though. I would like to confirm that, in fact, the fact that Madagascar typically supplies upwards of 80% of the world's natural vanilla.
There you go.
Assuming, for such a small place.
Assuming you haven't been checking vanilla prices recently, here's something interesting for you. Since Madagascar supplies such an overwhelming amount of the global vanilla crop, the price of vanilla is highly susceptible to conditions on Madagascar. In 2017, massive cyclone hits Madagascar, wiped out a large portion of the crop. Prices spiraled to over $500 per kilogram, which is more than the cost of silver.
Whoa.
So there we go.
That's amazing.
That's very good.
The take-home message is that climate change, or as we should call it, climate devastation or climate catastrophe, will soon be affecting our ability to enjoy even ice cream with real vanilla in it, not to mention the impact it has on the farmers of Madagascar, which is the 9th poorest country in the world. Thank you, Henry Hagamaki. That's lovely to hear from you. I think according to his email address, he might work in a German university. Maybe not.
I'm very pleased.
That's impressive.
That's a great email. I'm very surprised also to hear that there's 25 million people in Madagascar. My geography's terrible.
That's the same. All of them lemurs.
That's the same amount as Australia.
Is it?
Mm. Amazing. You seem pretty pleased with that. You email short football ramble game.
Even though I can no longer sleep because of that jingle, I'm still not bored of it.
No.
Are you bored of Arsenal, Jim?
Sign of the summer.
Yes. Let's talk about them.
Profoundly bored of Arsenal.
A point for Kike on his return. Arsenal threw away a two-goal lead. Watford could have won it in the end.
Probably should have won it as well. I was covering the game for Arsenal Nation because I forgot who scored.
Right.
I was busy swearing. I'm tired of being tired of Arsenal being like this, but I feel the need to keep my chins up because it just I don't know if I can handle another season of just thinking, oh God.
Yeah, but it's going to be that though, isn't it?
Well, I know it might be that, but I feel like I just have to stay optimistic.
Adidas
promised us this was over with their kit. I mean, they didn't say it as such, but they implied it with the nice kit. Okay. And I can't be having this. I mean, both goals, gifts, each centre-back just gifting them Watford a goal. It's just so frustrating.
So, Jim, how does Emery turn it around?
I don't know. I feel like the defensive errors at Arsenal or the defensive problems in general, they're almost like Japanese knotweed.
Yeah.
You know, like there's just nothing you can do to get rid of it and stop it like affecting the foundations.
Socrates sort of took the heat off Otamendi a little bit.
I don't know if he deliberately did it, but he certainly gave him some company in the
doghouse. Company's gone. What I find like bizarre is just when the team goes 2-0 up away from home, how there's no kind of like game management. I'm not professing to be know anything about coaching, but it feels to me that they should have a system in place that if they're 2-0 up away from home in the Premier League, that they should do something slightly different to mean they can control the game, take the sting out of it. I know that it's not as stark as people go, right, bang, one up, two up, let's completely change our system. They play in a certain way, I get that. But you think there'd be tweaks they can make. And it seems to affect Arsenal over and over again, 100%. Particularly away from home.
Yeah, I mean, Watford just flew out of the blocks in the second half and Arsenal seemed to have no answer to that. Then obviously gave away a ridiculous goal, but that set the tempo. They didn't recover their mentality from that. And Emery's changes were interesting because he switched up pretty much the entire midfield. Danny Ceballos coming off was a strange choice. I can only assume he's, you know, it was
a
fitness thing or something.
He said, according to one of the papers, that he took off Danny Ceballos off because of the temperature.
Right.
It was a bit hot and he's from Spain.
What? That's mad.
I mean, this may be something lost in translation.
Yeah, that's got to be. But yeah, I mean, Arsenal sort of really lacked cohesion in that second half, and every substitution just seemed to affect that further. And I've heard rumours that some of the players are starting to get a little bit frustrated with how they don't necessarily know what Emery wants them to do.
Right.
And that some of his instructions seem to be contradictory.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Do you not think that like the teams around them? You're looking at like Arsenal, Chelsea, Leicester, Man United, and Spurs. They're all 8 from 5. Nobody's really in a great position 3 down. Like everyone's kind of got quite spotty form at the moment.
Yeah.
And like if Arsenal just tighten up the back a little bit more, they've clearly got a set of forward players who can put the ball in the back of the net.
It's the second game in a row where Arsenal have gifted the opposition goals and they should have won them. That's so frustrating.
There's 2 points I want to make on it. One is that I don't know if you can play Ozu and Ceballos. I just don't know if you can do it.
Actually, I feel like in the first half, that actually worked fairly well. And you would think Watford away would be the last game you'd want to do that. But then I suppose in the second half, perhaps the negative side of that combination came to the fore.
And the second point I want to make is Watford had 31 shots.
Well, I was about to say, it was an intriguing one because the first half, people say it was very different halves. And of course, because of the scoreline, it was. Now, in the first half, the way Arsenal scored their goals, it looked quite easy.
Yeah.
They looked like far superior in terms of the attacking third. But Watford still had moments in first half. There were still openings and it was there. And I think that, going back to Luke's point about the game management, you're 2-0 up against a side who a bit down on their luck at the moment or whatever, on form. Watford score, they're gifted a goal and it's, 51 minutes. Watford didn't equalise until 80 minutes, something like that, 80 minutes. So there was a bit of a gap between the two goals. You can see the way the game is going.
Yeah.
You have to manage that. You have to, the substitutions, you have to do something there because you can see the way it's playing out. But you also have to remember that you Arsenal are the superior side.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, with the front line Arsenal have, then maybe go more compact. We talked about David Luiz's passing, Aubameyang's got pace, you know, like change it up and go, right, they're coming at us.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. We're better than them, so we should do this. And we've still got plenty in our armour and our tool set to hurt them on the break.
Well, I think with Torreira, Willick and Nelson all coming on, I think that was too much shuffling of the pack. I feel like the team didn't know didn't know who was supposed to be where in order for them to do that exact shutting up of said shop.
I don't really fully understand the formation they were playing anymore.
No, even throughout the game it seemed to change a fair bit. There were points where Nicolas Pepe seemed to be playing centre forward and drifted out wide. Ozil was coming deep and then going up to, like further in. It was a confusing performance. And Arsenal, Emery's been talking about how he's going to announce his five captains soon, and it's just like, it's just odd. We don't have Arsenal don't have a captain. It's like a designated permanent captain at this point in the season, and it's he's talking about five that he's going to rotate, and it's all a bit muddled. And I can't imagine, you know, playing for the team is that much different from that at the moment. It's a strange one. Mm.
PTD, are you going to chip in then?
I was literally going to say they had 1 point before this match, but pointed it on.
Right, okay.
Well, it's good news for Watford, though.
Yeah,
isn't it? Very good, a little bit more zing in their step. I mean, they're a bit gutted that didn't win, of course.
They looked very good, didn't they? In that second half, in particular. I think Kiki Sanchez Flores he seemed to get like a bit of a hero's welcome, didn't he, coming back?
Well, because he was like that.
He was, and rightly so.
He's a handsome fellow.
I hope they do well.
He is.
And he's had a lot of sweat patches on his grey jumper, and it matched his beard. Yeah. And it made it look like his beard had sweat patches as well.
Well, it was a hot day, and he's only from Spain, you see.
Exactly. Surprised he didn't bring himself off.
Let's get into the championship.
Kind of off the touchline there. Yeah.
Can't get away with that these days.
No. There's a joke in there somewhere. It was all Yorkshire happenings in the championship. Sheffield Wednesday beat Huddersfield 2-0. Gary Monk with his first win at Sheffield Wednesday.
Well, it was a clash of the two new managers, wasn't it?
Yes. Danny Cowley, of course, at Huddersfield. Took his brother with him.
He's got a massive, massive job on his hands.
Were you surprised he took that job?
I was. I'll tell you what, my thought process was, I know he's had other opportunities, and I'm surprised that he chose Huddersfield in that context. But if you look at what he did at Lincoln, him and his brother seemed to get a real kick out of completely revolutionising an entire club. Mm-hmm. And he's probably seen Huddersfield and thought, recent Premier League team, they're a big club, they're down in the dumps at the moment. I'm going to go into an environment there where they're going to be receptive to me overhauling the whole thing.
Sure.
So I think as long as he's had assurances that he's going to get patience, because I didn't see the whole game against Sheffield Wednesday, but obviously they were beaten comprehensively at home, he knows he's got a job on his hands. If he's given the room to do it, I think it's a great move for everyone.
Is that his kind of modus operandi then? The club has to be down on their luck. Barcelona come knocking. Yeah. Where'd you finish last season? Yeah.
Barcelona like, Harvey Keitel in Pulp Fiction.
If Barcelona go down to the third tier,
Cowley brothers are there. Yeah.
Give him a cowbell.
Yeah, there you go.
Barry Bannon had a lovely time. He had a hand in both goals. He was all over the place. I saw a fair whack of that match.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm. But good that Sheffield Wednesday have finally replaced Steve Bruce. You know, after Bruce, it takes you a while to move on.
It does.
So Gary Monk's in there. Leeds beat Barnsley 2-0.
It did.
Beals' boys back on top.
I've got 2 points to make. One is that quite a lot of ex-Arsenal players did quite well this weekend, but it's just not at Arsenal. Uh-huh. And Eddie Nketiah is on loan, I suppose. Yeah,
yeah. So he's still a current Arsenal player, technically.
And the other point is a much more scientific point about the size of Bielsa's jumper. Now, do you remember last season we talked a lot about Maurizio Sarri wearing oversized training gear?
Yeah. Yes. And eating fags. Yeah, let's mention that at every possible opportunity.
Yes. Well, I can't vouch for Bielsa eating any kind of tobacco product, but his training sweatshirt, I don't know where he's got it from because he's not a small man himself. It is absolutely massive. He's walking up and down the touchline like a crazed human tent.
Yeah.
And I cannot see how that is inspirational, but obviously it is.
I think the thing with Bielsa is he only cares about football, doesn't he? So that'll be the first jumper he's come across. He's like, this is a jumper. I need a jumper. This task is completed.
Do you reckon at home he just wears old clubs he's managed training kit?
Almost. Yeah, I think so. I mean, if he's a crazed tent, it's a shame that him and Arsene Wenger won't be on either side because Wenger in his sleeping bag.
He could go inside Bielsa, is that what you're saying? That's taking a turn.
I think they'd have to bring themselves off if that was the case. But Leeds back on top.
They are on top. And Nketiah, of course, changed the game.
He's mad at the match. He only played about 20 minutes.
He's done very well there so far, and it's very exciting to see. I was a little bit surprised to see him go out on loan. I thought he might get some chances in the Europa League for Arsenal this season, but actually, with Aubameyang and Lacazette able to sort of cover for each other so well, I think actually it's probably better for Nketiah and Arsenal in the long run for him to be getting the game time. Luke, you're smirking.
Yeah, because I think this is the first of his four loan spells before a permanent move to West Brom.
There we go.
I hope not, though, because he's a great talent.
Marcus, you were at Fulham, weren't you? Was the knockout goal a cross or a shot?
Yeah, it's a fair question. It was. I'm going to say shot.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah. Definitely shot for me. Did you see Slaven Bilic getting sent off as well? Two yellers.
Love
nice.
That.
Ooh, yeah. On the touchline. Big slav. Beautiful.
So I was speaking.
He brought himself off.
That's why I got sent off.
Someone else. No, I was speaking to a friend of mine over the weekend who is a non-league referee.
Oh,
and he was saying that he had to sin bin someone for the first time last week.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, it's a yellow, but it's not an orange card.
No,
annoyingly,
no,
it's a yellow, and they point to the touchline.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's in the. Do you remember which league he was?
He said it. I think some kind of Saturday league, perhaps it's a little bit below non-league. Perhaps. Okay, yeah. Okay. I can't remember the name of the team.
Should we bring that in? Football league, Premier League.
Yeah, why not?
I think so.
Because they're running roughshod over everything anyway.
Yeah.
So do something fun.
Well, I've long said the Carabao Cup should just be the experimental sort of like rule competition.
A lot of teams have said that as well, to be fair.
That's very true.
Did you guys see this from, I don't know if you got, I'm a little bit put out that we haven't mentioned this guy possibly ever on the Football Ramble.
Ooh.
Marcus, you are the natural historian of Ramble because your memories are better than the rest of us. But I don't think we've ever mentioned a guy called Rudi Gutendorf.
I'm having it.
Have we?
I don't think I remember that.
Yeah. Rudi Gutendorf is sadly passed away last week at the age of 93. He has a Guinness World Record for coaching 55 teams in 32 different countries, including top flight teams in Germany, where he's from. And they managed no fewer than 18 national sides, including Australia, China, and Fiji. His nickname is Restless Rudy.
Nice.
He's got ants in his pants.
He took his first managerial role in the 1950s in Zurich, and his final management job was in 2003 with Samoa when he was, I think, 76. He managed in 7 countries in Africa. He managed Botswana, Tanzania, Sao Tome and Principe, Ghana, Mauritius, Zimbabwe, and Rwanda. German FA Vice President Dr. Rainer Koch called him an outstanding ambassador of German football.
I'm not getting involved.
It's a great story. It's a great story.
I love
rest him.
Imagine that passport. Imagine those visas.
Be about thick, wouldn't it?
That's really quite something, that.
Yeah.
But if a documentary, I'm sure it probably has, but if there is a documentary, let us know about that, man. And if there isn't, then somebody make one and then send us the link.
Why don't we went on from what Luke just said then?
We'll get sidetracked with that kind of crap.
Yeah. If people are itching to know what he looks like, in the photo I've seen of him, which is from 99 when he was managing Rwanda, he looks a bit like a slimmer, deadly Doug Ellis.
Oh, okay.
Nice, okay. Yeah.
So God rest him.
Yes.
Condolences to his friends and family. What an amazing life in football. Good for him.
Flipping it. Well,
so something I saw this week that I really enjoyed. This one comes in two parts. did you see the Vinicius Junior clip doing the rounds?
Yes.
I think it was against Levante where he did a couple of step overs and a nice bit of skill and then just ran it out of play by the touchline for a goal kick. Yeah. But so that's part one. That was a lot of fun. There's also a clip of him attempting a rainbow flick that goes similarly awry. And obviously he's a very good player, but it's always funny when that happens.
Mm.
But what I enjoyed most about it is it's now become very difficult to find because Real Madrid are all about protecting their brand, and it's just so pathetically insecure from them that I've just enjoyed that a lot.
I mean, as I just
well, you don't know if it
algorithms kind of just getting involved. Yeah. I mean,
well, it wouldn't be Real Madrid anyway, would it? It would be the league.
I think Real Madrid can give them a nod.
And the rights.
Anyone can copyright.
They're making the frogs gay, and they are hiding Real Madrid failing.
I like the idea of a conspiracy around football teams seeing their players doing something bad and then trying to shut it out completely.
Yeah. No.
I'd like to know if that is the case.
I mean, there should be no football footage. It was like when Lukaku was racially abused a few weeks back. I think it was that story.
Well, and again, there's so much
fucking racism every single weekend. I mean, because you get emails from people going, why haven't you mentioned this? Because you know what? It's every fucking week and we couldn't do anything else. But in that particular situation, I think the action taken by Twitter took out the videos of him being racially abused on copyright grounds rather than bad taste grounds. You know what
I
mean? So Twitter had this sort of thing. We're going to work very much harder about people, you know, basically racially abusing footballers and stuff. Mm. And there's obvious ways of doing that. You can block out certain words that you don't necessarily hear in 2019. But it's just fascinating that that particular situation was censored for that ground rather than the actual racism itself.
It happens on YouTube as well, YouTube, because they can, all of a sudden, if you have a tiny piece of copyrighted music playing in the background of one of your videos, bang, that's gone. Racial abuse, all that conspiracy theory nonsense, that apparently takes months and months to come down.
Because getting rid of racism doesn't make you any money or protect your finances.
The copyright thing will be done through an algorithm though, won't it?
Yeah.
So it is
but you could easily...
I could probably write a pretty easy one with the N-word, mate.
Yeah.
Well, let's... Do get on.
All right, then, fine. I knew it was my responsibility, ultimately.
But Vinicius Jr. showing that even though he's a brilliant footballer and got a crucial assist in a 3-2 win over Levante, can still embarrass himself on the football pitch the same as the rest of us.
I was about to say, he's human after all.
Yes.
And aren't we all, Pete Donaldson, aren't we all? There we are, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm a dancer.
Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. We're back tomorrow with Jules and Andy, of course. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thanks very much.
Thank Pete Donaldson.
Come see us live, ramblelive.com.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners.
The listeners.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.